Good evening. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. And tonight, we are doing our sacred annual tradition, Halloween, a celebration of weed and Halloween. It's a tradition that we don't want to break, even though we don't broadcast as much. And we're going to play a foreplay tune before starting off our celebration. This is a track by Peter Tosh entitled Legalize It.
Advertise it.
Okay. Are we ready? Let's see. This big phallic microphone is working. And the weapon of ass destruction is working. And this huge John Holmes porn star microphone is working. Even though John Necraptist and Pastor Whoremaster will not speak into them. Maybe we'll get lucky tonight. And they have been celebrating very hard this weekend. So we'll just coax them gently into actually speaking in a manner in which everyone can hear. All right, sounds like we are ready. Good evening, this is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight is another one of our sacred annual holiday traditions, Halloween 2014, a celebration of weed and Halloween. And we have a fantastic playlist, lots to cover and catch up on. And there is just celebration in the air tonight. I can feel it. And I believe you can too. Let's start off with the first set of tunes, starting with the Ramones from their Acid Eaters album. This is entitled Journey to the Center of the Mind.
Don't get me high. Come on, let's go. out there know that for the first time in American history, the U.S. Army was used in a war operation against the American people?
Yes!
Right near here, up in Humboldt County, about 200 miles north of San Francisco, right near a town called Shelter Cove, get this, 300 to 400 American GIs dressed and fully armed with the automatic rifles, armed for battle, fanned out on maneuvers through the woods, backed up by a dozen Black Hawk attack helicopters. The mountain people up there were frightened out of their wits. They thought there was a war going on, especially the ones who had soldiers kicking in the doors to their cabins and putting guns to their heads in front of their children. Why? Who was the enemy in this war? Not the communists, not Saddam Hussein, not Earth First or even the Spotted Owl. No. The enemy. They called out the army to put down, secretly, so as few people outside of Humboldt would get alarmed as possible. It wasn't even a person or an army or a terrorist group. It was a plant. The marijuana plant. And they actually did find a few for the GIs to pull up, and then they had to fly in more from the government stash so the pile would look big enough when they lit the bonfire for the network TV news cameras so they could say, yes, another triumph in the drug war. Drug war. War. The American army sent to war against the American people. And we're supposed to feel relieved and secure and protected. Protected from what? A lot of people with more guts than I'll ever have risked their life and limb all last summer at the Earth First Redwood Summer Action up in Humboldt County. They were chaining themselves to redwoods that were three times wider than they were spread-eagled. They were 800 years old as the saws buzzed right over their heads. They stood in the dirt as the bulldozers charged them and stopped right at their toes. Or people waved clubs at them, charged them with logging trucks, shotguns, you name it. All to try and save some of the last unspoiled virgin forest we have left anywhere in this country from being chopped down and made into toilet paper, TV guides, and the Weekly World News. On the other side, the loggers saying, what about our jobs? What about our families? What about our lives? You needed wood and cardboard to make those protest signs. We need fuel. We need paper. It's almost gone. Where are we going to get more? The answer, for centuries, has been right under our nose. Grow more pot. If we're serious about saving the earth, saving the ozone, and our freedom to go about saving the earth and the ozone, we should start by paying all those dirt poor coca farmers in South America and out of work loggers in Fortuna and Eureka and Midwest family farmers and Rust Belt families too to all get together and grow more pot. Why? Get ready for this. There's a book out. It's called The Emperor Wears No Clothes. The author's name is Jack Harar. It's published by Queen of Clubs. I think there's ads for it in High Times or Normal, National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws. They could direct you to one, I'm sure. And in this book, among other places, it is written, before the 20th century, the marijuana plant provided almost all the world's paper, all the world's clothing and textiles, and almost all the world's rope. According to none other than the U.S. Department of Agriculture, you can make four times as much paper from an acre of marijuana hemp plants as you can from an acre of trees. And instead of chopping down all the redwoods in Humboldt County and turning Northern California and Oregon and Washington into Appalachia or the Sahara Desert, If you do it with hemp plants, you can just grow another crop a few months later and make more paper. At 1/4 the cost of making paper from wood pulp and only 1/5 the pollution. The ancient Romans knew this and grew it. Henry VIII made each farmer in Old England grow their share, because they knew if you want the strongest natural fiber there is, you all got to do your part for the king and grow more pot. And we did, too. Guess what Levi jeans were originally made out of? And guess what American flags used to be made out of? And guess what the early drafts of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were written on? And if that's too unchristian for you, guess what they made Gutenberg and King James Bibles out of? Guess what you can use to power a car? You can get at least 4 times as much cellulose to make gasohol or methanol from hemp stems as you can from a corn stalk, which along with solar energy would be a great way to avoid dying for oil in Saudi Arabia. In the 20s and 30s, most American cars and farm machinery had the option of running on gas or on methanol. Most racing cars still do run on methanol. And George Washington and Thomas Jefferson grew cannabis on their plantations and smoked it, too. In the 1760s, in the American colonies, you could even be jailed for not growing pot, because that was part of the key to become economically independent from Britain. Hemp was legal tender in America, a substitute for money, from 1630 clear up until the early 1800s. And hemp seeds are a great source of protein, better than soybeans, and it's cheaper than soybeans, too. Or so says the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Marijuana is legal for medical use in 34 states. Used to treat glaucoma and pain caused by cancer. You can digest more protein out of a hemp seed than a soybean seed. It's even shown some signs of being able to combat herpes. And guess what kind of a parachute Mr. Drug War Junta Man himself, George Bush, used when he bailed out of that bomber in World War II? Hemp was illegal by then, but farmers were briefly ordered to grow it again in this country for the war effort and all, and the U.S. Army had their own stash all along in the colonies in the Philippines. So, how did everything get turned around so damn bad? Doesn't it strike you as a little dumb that we burn oil and choke ourselves and chop down all our trees and ruin innocent people's lives by branding them criminals and throwing them in jails or sending them off to drug camps or taking all their property and selling it before they're brought to trial? In the process, making crack and heroin cheaper and easier to get than pot. Why do we do this when we don't have to? Meanwhile, the police chief of L.A., Daryl Gates, gets front page approval for telling a U.S. Senate committee that pot smokers should be shot on sight. Because smoking pot is treason, because after all, it's illegal. Why was marijuana cracked down on? And why was it done so violently? Well, ready? In 1936, Popular Mechanics magazine hailed the invention of a new machine to process hemp, predicting that marijuana hemp would once again become the world's largest cash crop. This did not sit at all well with people like Hearst Paper Manufacturing, or Kimberly-Clark, or other cutthroat multinationals who happened to have large timber holdings. Didn't sit too well with tobacco barons, for obvious reasons. And it sure as hell didn't sit too well with our old buddies DuPont. Hemp processing uses only 1/5 the chemicals needed to process wood pulp, and DuPont had just patented a new wood pulp sulfide process. And DuPont's patented plastic fibers had just passed up hemp as the number two fiber next to cotton, and they wanted to keep it that way. And the last thing the big drug companies wanted was to lose their share of the ever-lucrative disease industry market to more affordable medicine made from marijuana or other natural ingredients because, check this out, you can't own and make money off a patent for medicine in this country unless the medicine has chemicals in it. If it's all natural ingredients, you can't patent it. Maybe that's why we don't have access to a cure for cancer or AIDS, or why the health food store I go to keeps getting harassed by federal authorities for selling herbal medicines. Meanwhile, guess who owns Congress? So, marijuana was outlawed in 1937. And they fanned the racism fires, playing the racism card just like they do when they want to crack down on rock and roll or rap or hip-hop or something like that. They said that smoking marijuana might cause you to fall under the influence of listening to jazz. And I believe it was even said on the floor of Congress that marijuana had to be banned because smoking it might make a black man look at a white woman twice. And let's not forget that U.S. Treasury Department-funded documentary film called Reefer Madness. So marijuana was outlawed as devil weed in 1937. Only 53 years ago, it was legal. Need I say more on why our beloved fearless leaders go out of their way to censor our access to information so damn much? Can you imagine the mass outrage if this kind of stuff ever really got out? And people knew that this so big drug problem they keep reading about and hearing about is being caused by the government themselves? And people knew how easily each one of us individually could turn our ecological and human crisis around without resorting to Nazi bullshit like oil wars and drug wars just by saying no to George Bush? And people knew that the very companies that provide us with such crucial conveniences as Kleenex, paper towels, and junk mail have systematically and brutally rearranged every single one of our lives so that we are literally wiping our ass with our own future. And it doesn't have to be this way. I mean, I'll tell you, I do feel kind of funny saying all this because I used to be a pothead and I hate smoking the stuff and the whole low-energy stoner deadhead vibe that comes with it. But you don't need to smoke pot to realize that the real drug problem in this country is not the drugs. And we can help solve our drug problems, crime problems, environmental problems, even our racial problems, if we say no to George Bush and get together and grow more pot. Ever thought of what a sadomasochistic culture we really have? How much of our emotional pulse really revolves around pain? How many people cling to grim religions based on torture? Afraid to break the cycle out of fear of the unknown. It's so much more secure just to hate your own guts. Break down, kneel down, confess. And think of all the horrible things that are going to happen to you if you don't confess. It's a crime to open your eyes. It's a sin to look around and explore too far. Threats from above keep people whipped. Sadomasochism on a stick. And what do we talk about at parties to get attention? Pleasure? Love? We talk about pain. Like showing off the busted leg to the chums in the locker room or at the ski lodge. Or, look at all these gnarly scars I got when I wiped out on my skateboard. War wounds. Pain, the proof of purchase of adventure. I crashed and burned, therefore I am alive. When was the last time you heard someone reminisce about the orgasm they had the other day? What kind of reaction do you think they'd get anyway? So far I hear, or say something like that at a department store. It might be, ooh, pervert, guards, take him away. Or in the ever more uptight sectors of our more political than thou underground scene, you might get the reaction, ew, sexist. I mean, I don't agree with a lot of what hip-hop artists like Ice-T or 2 Live Crew or the Ghetto Boys have to say about women, but I do think Ice-T has an interesting point. Imagine what life would be like if we all felt relaxed enough and comfortable around each other that a person of either sex could go up to somebody else of either sex that they secretly found attractive or radiant, lovable, in need of a hug, whatever, you know, male, female, female, male, 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 female, female. Just go up and come right out and say, hey, let's get butt naked and fuck. And if the other person responded by saying, no, I don't want to, it wouldn't be such a big, tense, shattering, horrible, degrading deal because the stakes wouldn't be raised so damn high that rejection wouldn't hurt so bad that the other person couldn't just immediately say, oh, okay, that's fine, let's just be friends then. Sure would eliminate a lot of uptight, stupid games. And that, to me, is why so many artists and rap and rock musicians who deal openly with sex and sexuality are being treated as political subversives. But no, you talk about that stuff just about anywhere today. What do you want to bet that the other people around you would kind of cringe and grow a little uncomfortable, maybe smile and go, heh, 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 hunting frantically in the corner of their eye, heh, heh, heh. Won't someone change the subject to something, anything else? It's just too taboo to talk pleasure in this arena. The person who does receives the pain of being shunned. Thus, the lesson is implanted. Fear is the teacher. Next time, think and feel in ways the others can relate to. Tales of wigging out on drugs won't make other people quite so jealous. Don't fight the current or you could be swept out to sea. Remember what sells versus what is untouchable. Avoid the hurt that comes with feeling icky. Filter your feelings through our orbit of pain.
Hey, man, it's a bummer about your cancer.
Yeah, man, like, I've been puking all night long. And this, like, Marinade doesn't do a damn thing.
How about a bong, man?
Sweet, dude. Hey, man, what's with the guys with the guns?
This is Halliburton, Ernie, and it's so good to be here tonight with Reverend Bookburn and Pastor Whoremaster and John the Craptist, just celebrating weed and Halloween and the beauty of the celebration of Halloween is clearly in the air tonight at Lolo Radio, and we feel that it would be a nice and essential part of the Halloween celebration to go back in time to prog rock heaven and play a beautiful track by Trapeze, the title song from their CD Medusa. This is Halliburton Ernie introducing Trapeze's Medusa.
You're bound to think that I'm on the shore from a sea that never came. Now's the time to find the time. I've done what has to be done. Voices call the nameless one, crying all of the time. Tales of no one in my sleep, stepping out into the night.
Thank you.
the shore. From a sea that almost came. There's no time to find the time. I've done what has to be done. I've done what has to be done. I have done. I have done. I have done.
You heard Trapeze doing Medusa, the title track of a great CD. The Satisfactors did She Got Charm. Benedict Arnold and the Traitors did Death Penalty for Pot. Before that, from his incredible spoken word double CD, I Blow Minds for a Living, we heard Jello Biafra doing Grow More Pot and Lost Orgasm. Before that, Weird Al Yankovic did Spam. Ramones did Journey to the Center of the Mind. And tonight, the foreplay before the show was by Peter Tosh, entitled Legalize It. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. And tonight, the theme is Halloween 2014, and I think it's safe to say that it has been an appropriate celebration in preparation and in the implementation of this special Halloween show. We are recording at Lolo Radio, where we continue to record the shows. For the last however many months, we have been unable to broadcast live. So what we are doing is recording the shows at Lolo Radio anyway and uploading them so that they are in the archives. And all shows, the ones that were done live for years in the past, as well as the recent shows that have been recording, are all available at Radio for All and always accessible for free. And we expect tonight's show, barring any kind of technological fuck-ups, to also be available at Radio for All, thanks to the great co-producer from afar, Pastor Rex Cat. And our last show is up there at Radio for All, the Robin Williams Memorial Show. And the links to past shows, as well as the playlists, and lots of good links and goodies, and all news Reverend Bookburn related, is at reverendbookburn.com, alias an automatic redirect to revbookburn.blogspot.com. So, Having said that, let's see, we have birthdays. Even though he's passed away, for 18 years, we still celebrate his birthday, especially since it's close to Halloween, because he was one of the vital voices of the 60s, one of the contributors to the Beatles and others being turned on to pot, and getting the message out there, and taking some hard falls and busts in the process. Evolutionary agent, brilliant former Harvard professor, Dr. Timothy Leary, happy birthday, which was on October 22nd. And on the same day, happy birthday to the still living co-founder of the Black Panther Party, Bobby Seale, whom the Reverend had the pleasure of meeting, also brilliant. And when you listen to him talk about community programs and true vision, and when you see who he really is and not who the corporate media says he is, you see a brilliant mind and a very dedicated and passionate person. And since the last show, happy birthday, John Sinclair, another person who contributed beyond measure to the legalized marijuana movement, the counterculture of the 60s, and the political movements of the 60s, the manager of the band MC5, co-founder of the White Panther Party, in support of the Black Panther Party, later called the Rainbow People's Party, also counterculture, or as he called it, free culture organizing, along with political organizing, organizer of the Smokins along with the Yippies, which was Abby Hoffman, Dana Beale and gang, and took a fall for a 10-year sentence for two joints. John Sinclair's birthday has passed, and we have to acknowledge him as one of the parents of the marijuana movement. Probably that would result in him demanding a blood test, as Paul Krasner would say, but it's safe to say he is one of the key figures of the 1960s, which helped launch a pro-marijuana movement that has not dwindled down since that magical era. Happy birthday to them. We have a couple of deaths also to announce. Actress Elizabeth Pena, who passed away since the last show at age 55. And today, the day the show is being recorded, October 25th, we heard this just happened today, legendary bass player, songwriter, vocalist, most notably from the band Cream, the passing of Jack Bruce. And it sucks to hear that. He was 71 and has just passed away. And Pastor Whoremaster and John Necraptist, if you are still in the realm of conscious and functioning people, we got to remember to play Cream on the next show for the memory of Jack Bruce. And actually, I have a feeling that Pastor Rex Cadd, who does the archives and adds bonus tracks to every show, and I love this, and they're always appropriate and stuff I didn't even think of, but he'll put a track in and say in memory of Jack Bruce or somebody who recently passed away, and it'll be this killer track, and I'll say, he's fucking great. But yes, we have to pay a tribute to Jack Bruce. So farewell with highest respect and honor and big support and comfort to all who were close to him or knew him. Okay. What's the difference between Halloween 2014 and last year? Last October? Plenty. In anti-pot fascist America, there has actually been substantial progress in decreasing the repressive draconian laws that have abounded in the nation. Not everywhere, but in more states, loosening of the laws, especially pertaining to medicinal access to marijuana. But even then, in some places, any use of marijuana has been decreased, including here in beautiful Philadelphia. There is less repression and a form of decriminalization that has passed. And that is, of course, good news, because in reality, we celebrate these little victories and they're worth celebrating. But in reality, not a single person anywhere should be arrested on marijuana charges, and there should be no marijuana prisoners, let alone, you know, more pot prisoners than even violators of laws pertaining to real crime, violence, crime where there is a victim, which is the only crime, actually. Murderers, rapists, thugs, robbers, whatever. Domestic abusers, and it just sucks so extremely that so many goons and thugs have been turned loose on the streets so that they could make room in the overcrowded American barbaric prison system that's even worse with privatized prisons now, to make room for the pothead. That is beyond injustice. That is insanity. There should be no marijuana prisoners, and medicinal access to marijuana is not only completely justified but necessary, as well as the industrial uses of marijuana. And besides all of those useful uses of marijuana that can be appreciated by people who aren't really into it, it is also fun. It is stimulating. It is wonderful. It makes music, movies, oral sex, all sex, just so much enhanced and greater. And laws against it, like laws against any victimless crime, are not only wrong, not only unjust, but it's just fucking crazy, especially when it's at the expense of having more of ignoring real crime, devoting less resources on abusers and real criminals. It is so fucking stupid. Thank you, everybody who has helped advance the cause of marijuana, the late Dr. Timothy Leary, the still living in Amsterdam, John Sinclair, organizer of the earliest smoke-ins with the Yippies, Dana Beale, recently freed from his status of being a pot prisoner. Mr. Z, a friend who visited recently and is doing well. And poet Allen Ginsberg, who actually was the person who turned Dylan onto pot and subsequently the Beatles. And thank you in this present day to the people carrying the torch, organizing events, spreading the word on social media, in songs, in articles, and just through word of mouth and smoke of mouth, that it's time for reefer madness to end. It is not a hard drug. It is not an addictive drug. It's not a drug. It's not to be lumped in with everything else by the recovery propaganda industry. It is not to be maligned. And yes, it can be said that some people could be excessive, but that is a behavioral disorder, and we're not going to get into that tonight because that's a whole other subject. Yes, there can be a behavioral disorder around anything, but it is a non-addictive natural substance. It is not a hard drug, and it is not something that is on a list with real addictive drugs. It doesn't even belong on a list with tobacco and alcohol. So thank you, people who are working to enlighten others as to the positive attributes and debunking the bullshit that kind of continues the reefer madness propaganda and the recovery propaganda industry's falsehoods about marijuana. All right, talked out. More to talk about, more to cover. But first, let us play our second set of tunes. And gotta play this. It's such a classic track by Afro Man. And the one thing I don't understand is when he sings the line about how he was going to eat pussy, but then he got high and just didn't feel like doing it. And the Reverend thinks, are you fucking crazy? How can you not want to? What could be more fun than getting high and then giving pleasure? But that's Afro Man. The song is classic, and it's called Because I Got High.
Roll another blunt. Yeah. Oh, good. La da 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 da. La da da da. La da da da. La da da da. La da da da. I was gonna clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high. My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da 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 da. I was gonna go to class before I got high.
Come on, y'all.
Check it out. I could've cheated and I could've passed, but I got high.
La da.
I'm taking it next semester, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
Go to the next. Go to the next. Go to the next.
I was gonna go to court before I got high. I was gonna pay my
my child support, but then I got high.
No, you wasn't.
They took my whole paycheck, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da 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 da. I wasn't gonna run from the cops, but I was high.
I'm serious, man.
I was gonna pull right over and stop, but I was high. La da da. Now I'm a paraplegic, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da da. I was gonna make love to you, but then I got high.
I'm serious.
I was gonna eat your pussy too, but then I got high. Now I'm jacking off, and I know why.
Turn this shit off.
Yeah, because I got high.
Keep going.
Because I got high.
Hey, do that over, man.
Because I got high.
Come on, man. Don't let go. Come on. Go.
Go. I messed up my entire life because I got high.
Go. Go.
I lost my kids and wife because I got high.
Say what, say what, say what, say what.
Now I'm sleeping on the sidewalk and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La 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 da da da. I'ma stop singing this song because I'm high.
Present tense,
baby. I'm singing this whole thing wrong because I'm high.
Bring it back, bring it back.
And if I don't sell one copy, I'll know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, hey, cause I'm high. Cause I'm high. Cause I'm high.
Are you really high though, man?
La da 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 da.
He really is high, man.
Shoop, shoop, shooby doo wah.
Get jiggy with it.
Skippity bee bop.
Salty with a red light howl somewhere below the fog. Well, I'm stumbling, got a bridge to cross and a big old wooden clog. Big chunk of Afghani black, tracking college grand. I don't need caffeine at the coffee shop, but I might as well go in. Hot damn, here I am in Amsterdam. Oh, she got me in her clutch. Well, I really couldn't give a damn.
Yeah.
Dutch.
This is Dr. Greed, and I am disgusted with the pro-weed and obscene shenanigans that are going on this show. And now we're going to hear something even more disgusting. by a band called I Am Duck Eye, a track that makes fun of our wonderful Tea Party fascistic conservatives running in the midterms in a couple of weeks, a song entitled Teabaggin'. We'll be right back.
you heard Atomic Rooster doing Gershatcher. I Am Duck Eye did Teabaggin' from their great CD entitled Husband. Country Joe and the Fish did I Like Marijuana. King Missile did Sandbox. Asylum Street Spankers did Amsterdam. And started that set off with Afro Man doing Because I Got High. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. And tonight the theme is Halloween 2014. And it is a very special celebration of Halloween at Lolo Radio. I can't look at these two guys without laughing. Not, don't take that wrong. But they sure are doing everything humanly possible to keep the spirit of the celebration flowing in a positive manner. And to that, I can only say thank you. And, of course, we thank the people who are continuing the efforts to change the marijuana laws and carrying the torch to this day. One of these two over here have said that I talked about the origins of the modern marijuana movement more than what is happening in the present day. And I suppose that is true. So I wanted to emphasize that the people who are advancing the cause of understanding and, of course, pushing for a change in the laws for the freeing of marijuana prisoners of today, and, of course, who are providing access to medical patients who need it, a big thank you. You are appreciated at The Reverend Is In, and may you continue, and may you find your efforts most enjoyable. This is the last show before what is called the midterm elections. The midterms, if you don't know, is something that is in the middle between two presidential elections. So since the last presidential election in the USA was in 2012, the election that is going to happen in less than 2 weeks from tonight, October 25th, specifically, the elections that are happening on November 4th are called the midterms. Now, a lot of people do not participate in them because, well, for a number of reasons, but for the most part, it is mostly fascists, Nazis, teabaggers, anti-choice, religious nuts, and anti-weed people, pro-censorship people, sex negatives, and gun nuts, and what have you. In other words, let's be honest, the assholes, the racists, the women haters, the homophobes, and the people who are stupid enough to let Fox News, and news is in quotes, of course, shape their reality and program their thinking and program them into acting as if the interests of the top 1% are their interests. Yeah, they're out there. Some of them even smoke weed and put on Ron Paul stickers, much to our embarrassment. And if you're in a country other than the USA, the majority of pro-marijuana people and people in the marijuana movement are not these Ron Paul dipshits. They get more publicity, but the majority are not dupes for that. So please don't say, oh, that's what it's like, you know, in America, in the marijuana scene and Occupy scene and anti-war scene. It's not. It's a small, tiny group of clusterfucks. Okay, having said that, the midterms usually gets the assholes and the racists and all that kind of stuff. And it's understandable when you hear people say, well, I don't like either corporate party, or I don't like to vote, period. All of those things make sense, or the Greens make sense. A lot of people make sense, but a pragmatic question that is unanswerable and that could only be answered by each person on an individual basis is, if the Third Reich was on the ballot in old Germany, would you vote against it? Or would you just say, ah, fuck it, the other side isn't much better? Or would you participate? Is the current pickings that bad? It's close to it. I am no fucking Democrat. I am not. However, with the Tea Party psychos and the current wing of the Republican Party that is after Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps, unemployment insurance, disability, health care, food stamps, emergency housing, disaster relief, cut embassy security, the Center for Disease Control, cut pretty much everything except subsidies for the top 1%, subsidies for Wall Street, subsidies for the big banks, subsidies for big oil, and cutting their taxes and letting everybody else pay the brunt of it. Those assholes are so extreme, not just when they shut down the whole operation last year, but ongoing. And if there are more of them, or if they are a majority in the Senate, what's left for the homeless and the people who have the least? What's left for people who are struggling? What's left of the jobs that have not been outsourced to another country, and which is an act rewarded by the same psycho Republicans who are cutting unemployment and food stamps benefits? What's left of it all will be a target. And that's something to bear in mind. And they are attacking voting rights. Chris Christie, often labeled by the corporate media as a moderate, and that is so fucking laughable, has gone so far as to say that he wants the Republicans to win a majority in the Senate again because they want to control the voting machines in 2016. This is pretty fucking serious. So, if you're working or not working, you may want to think when you wake up Tuesday morning on November 4th, if you are a listener in the United States, you may want to think, do I want to sit this out and let all the assholes who wear tea bags and Confederate flags and guns and what have you and racist misspelled signs. Do I want them to be the only people participating in this process? And do I want the assholes that they support to win? Do I want them to be a majority and have what's left of disaster relief funds and everything else cut to shit? I think whatever your ideology, whatever your point of view, however much you hate the other side, all of which I completely understand, but it's a time for pragmatism. The biggest assholes in the nation are in an opportunity to become a majority. And if that happens, we can only speculate the magnitude of additional damage that they will do, and the lives they will fuck up, and the extent of human suffering and death. Well, that was cheerful. I just buzzkilled Pastor Whoremaster and John the Craptist. I'll make it up to you. And the third set of music will make up for that. And while we're on this tangent, in the same way that we put the word news in quotes whenever we say Fox News, because their use of the word news is fucking laughable, whenever you say the History Channel, you have to put the word history in quotes, not just because of how they fuck up the 60s, which is really bad, but now they have an even bigger bullshit series, The Men Who Built America, in which they broadcast with their heads kissing the ass of the top 1%, the big industrialists who didn't build a fucking thing. They own things. A lot of people who sweated and bled, and many of which died, did the building. But it's called The Men Who Built America, and it is such a load of shit. And if it wasn't bad enough that the History, in quotes, channel fucked up history yet again, but they have modern day assholes like Donald Trump and Carly Fiorini issuing comments like, these were the men who really made things what they were, and greatness and blah, blah, blah. So I'm here to announce a future project of the Reverend Is In, a video response to The Men Who Built the Nation, which will be directed to the History, quote-unquote, History Channel, entitled The Channel That Bullshitted the Nation. All right. Oh, and one last thing. We link this at reverendbookburn.com, alias revbookburn.blogspot.com. The new Naomi Klein book, entitled This Changes Everything, a must-read. Whatever your interests, the environment, climate change, the economy, justice, corruption, what has become of the political process. Brilliant, masterfully documented and researched, and even your dumbest ass aunt and uncle can understand it when they say, no, that's not what Bill O'Reilly says. Even they will be able to understand this book. Let's play the third set of tunes. And since you can't do a show about weed and the repression against weed without a song about killer cops and really the drug war, marijuana raiding cops and the racist cops of Ferguson and everywhere else is pretty much the same. And this song was written after one such incident in which a group, I should say a gang, of New York City white cops had one guy held at gunpoint. They ordered him to get his wallet, and so when he reached for his wallet, as ordered, they decided that they were defending themselves by shooting this unarmed guy 41 times. Obviously, it was a homicide. Obviously, the words that came out of their mouths, an asshole murderer Giuliani's mouth, and the bullshit that came out of their defenders' mouths was just that bullshit. But that incident inspired this song entitled American Skin, 41 Shots. It was done live, and it's by Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, live in New York.
My friend, you get killed just for living. your American skin.
41 shot.
'Commercial, you're off the artistic roll call forever. And that goes for everyone except Willie Nelson. 24 million dollar tax bill. Willie was a little looser than the rest of us. I just avert my eyes when he sings about tacos. You know what I mean? It's so fucking...
I'm sitting here selling tacos, oh, waiting for the woman in the rose tattoo. My butt is so loose.
Oh, this is so sad. Is he done yet? Nope.
I love picante and iced tea. Taco Bell has them for me. Oh, my butt hurts so bad.
Oh, this is so sad. Is he finished yet? Nope.
I love nachos with chips and dip and love the things that I can get. And oh, my butt is hurting me.
Oh, poor Willie. Poor fucking Willie. Oh, God. Let's pass the hat. Get him off the Taco Bell commercial. We gotta save Willie.
I'm so tired of being all alone, waltzing through bar after bar, trying to find my heart alone.
You know what I mean? You want a better world, ladies and gentlemen? Legalize pot right now. You want to end the deficit? Legalize pot right now. I am so sick of hearing about the goddamn deficit, I could fucking puke blood. There ain't no fucking deficit. It's a fucking lie, and it's a fucking illusion in the first place. But you want to end it? You want to end it? Legalize pot. Biggest cash crop in America. Deficit's gone. But I am so sick of hearing about, well, your leaders misspent your hard-earned tax dollars, so you, the people, now have to tighten your belts, and we got to start paying this back, because we, your leaders, misspent your money. You know what would make tightening my belt a little easier? If I could tighten it around Jesse Helms' scrawny little chicken neck. I feel better about the sacrifice right now. You fucking tobacco-pushing motherfucker. You are the worst fucking drug dealer in the fucking world. You scrawny, right-wing, fear-mongering piece of sucker of Satan's cock. You suck Satan's cock, you fucking chicken neck little fucking cracker. I'd tighten my belt if that were the case. I'd eat bologna for a week. You know what I mean? I'd sacrifice. Boy, Jesse Helms is another great one, isn't he? Just another little fevered ego tainting our collective unconscious. Because, you know, anyone like Swaggart, anyone that far to the right is hiding a very deep and dark secret. You do know that, right? I'm an armchair fucking psychologist, but... anyone that, you know, when Jesse Helms finally dies, he's going to commit suicide, first of all, in a wash tub out back underneath a pecan tree. He's going to slash his wrist and going to write in blood, "I've been a bad boy." But you know they're going to find the skins of young children drying in his attic. Swarms of horseflies going in and out of the eaves, and on CNN over and over, his wife going, "I always wondered about Jesse's collection of little shoes." Anyone that far to the right is fucking hiding a deep, dark secret. Speaking of Satan, I was watching Rush Limbaugh the other day. Doesn't Rush Limbaugh remind you of one of those gay guys who likes to lay in a tub while other men pee on him? Am I the only one? Can't you see his fat body in a tub while Reagan, Quayle, and Bush just stand around pissing on him, and he can't, his little piggly wiggly dick can't get hard? I can't get hard. Reagan, pee in my mouth. Well, how's that, Rush? Still can't get hard, so they call in Barbara Bush. She takes her pearls off, puts them up his ass, then squats over him, undoes her girdle. Her wrinkled, flaccid labia unfolds halfway down to her knees like some ballless scrotum. She squeezes out a link into his mouth. Finally, his dick gets half hard. A little clear bubble forms on the end with a maggot inside. The maggot pops the bubble and runs off and joins a pro-life group somewhere. Am I the only one that sees that? Or I'm not? Thank God I'm not alone. Thank God I had the insight to notice Rush Limbaugh is a scat muncher. He munches scat. Jesus, Bill. I'm so proud of that little dark poetry there. I came up with the word scat muncher, and it went from there, and I just immediately thought of Rush.
One, two, three, four. Who was the bloke in the starch white car? I thought we put his picture on the dollar.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message. I appreciate Reverend Bookburn inviting me to come on to this show, and it's so good to see him and Pastor Whoremaster and John Necraptus celebrating their holiday. I guess it's their holiday, or something they believe in. And it kind of reminds me of my wilder, youthful days of partying before I got saved, of course, and became a total rep of the top 1%. But I do appreciate him talking about the midterms and the elections and all the things that get me excited. And I appreciate the opportunity to kind of get giggly. And I must admit, I get giggly just looking at all you people. So, listen to Reverend Bookburn and get out the vote. And have fun enjoying your holiday. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Sainted tea bagging party. People, these tea parties were not I hate Obama rallies. No, they weren't. These were to let Congress know that the people are dissatisfied with what they're doing at the moment. I get asked all the damn time why we did not protest when our dear President Bush was in office. And I tell him that we loved everything he did. Besides, someone emailed me that our dear President Bush was doing his own tea bagging in private. I guess that's in support of our efforts. Bless him. I was told that we right-wing GOP types sure seem to love our tea bags. They say that some of us even go from party to party, getting tea bagged again and again and again. I have no idea what they mean, but bring the tea bagging on. Hey, you all, can I secede from America? All hail teabagging. This is Dr. Laura Hoa saying keep your bags close and your baggers closer. And teabag a liberal Dem before they teabag you. Bye-bye.
Yes, it's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. And we have a runner-up. We have two runners-up. Saturday, October 25th, 2014, at Lolo Radio, LoisBurak.com, ReverendBookburn.com, RevBookburn.blogspot.com, and Radio For All, Radio Numeral For All.net. Tonight's first runner-up is not a person, but a group of people who continue to this day, in slightly more enlightened times, to write about why we shouldn't change the marijuana laws and that we're being fooled by a growing industry. When even the dumbest people at work and in the extended bloodline of all of us here know better than to believe such bullshit. The anti-marijuana propagandists who continue to this day, the first runners-up to Asshole of the Week, and that brings us to the second runner-up, which is the psycho Republicans running for office for November 4th, 2014, in the Senate, in the House of Representatives, and in some governor's races. Not because anybody in here is a fucking Democrat, but because these motherfuckers are so extreme, are so inhumane, are such stooges of the Koch brothers and the others who were in the top 1% and are being promoted so heavily, not just by Fox, quote, News, unquote, but by Koch-sponsored ads, Koch brothers-sponsored ads, and other propaganda outlets to further... Where's the fart sounds? We need the fart sounds for Asshole of the Week, starting with Cheech from Cheech and Chong.
Oh, shit, man! Put out a warning when you do one of those, man!
Ah, thank you. Much better. To further fuck the middle class and the poor, Tea Party Republican psychos running for Senate, House of Representatives, or governor's offices this November 4th, 2014, second runners up to Asshole of the Week. And that means that we need a special recipient, so special as to even outshine the runner-ups. Tonight, Asshole of the Week is the Susan Komen Breast Cancer Organization, a group that has fucked up so many times it can't even be counted when it comes to whether it was doing the bidding of the anti-choice assholes, other fuck-ups through the years, and questionable uses of money throughout their history. They have taken a very good cause, a very worthwhile cause, and fucked up the efforts to work against it. And the latest action that they have done has been to allow themselves to be used by the deadly breast cancer-causing fracking industry. Yes, the poisoners of water, Dickless Cheney's Halliburton Company and others that are contaminating water and causing cancer, including breast cancer. And Komen is allowing them to go pink and drill for the cure. This is the height of betrayal for everybody who is well-intentioned and wanted to support them in the mistaken belief that they were supporting such a worthwhile cause instead of supporting assholes. Komen, organization. You are assholes of the week. All right, kill that fart, please. Thank you. You heard Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com doing Dr. Lara Whore, the 2009 version. Before that, Rambo. All initials R A M B O. Doing Kids Who Mosh Like Assholes Must Make for Selfish Lovers. Then they played If Our Leaders Are Impotent, Only the People Can Rise. Then Godless Freedom Fighters. And after Bush's PSA, The Curse of Philadelphia. Before Rambo, you heard Reverend Bookburn's animation theme. We heard three tracks by Bill Hicks, and we're going to hear more on the next show, which is Happy Spanksgiving. But we didn't have time for them. There was so much that applied to today's show. Bill Hicks from the great, great comedy CD of his entitled Rant in E Minor. You heard Save Willie, Deficit, Jesse Helms, and Rush Limbaugh. Cheech and Chong did Earache My Eye from the first Cheech and Chong film, Up in Smoke, and started off with Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band from Live in New York City doing American Skin, 41 Shots. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme has been Halloween 2014, and our November 2014 show will be Happy Spanksgiving, another annual sacred tradition on this show. We will do updates always at reverendbookburn.com, which is an automatic redirect at revbookburn.blogspot.com. We're expecting tonight's show, if nothing went wrong technically, to be at Radio 4All in roughly a week, Radio Numeral 4All.net, thanks to Pastor Rex Cat. And we will be back for Happy Spanksgiving, and if life circumstances and everything works out okay, our holiday show in December. We are going to play a closing track and get out of here from a compilation of various artists, that wasn't too redundant, entitled Hempilation. This is 311 doing their version of Who's Got the Herb? Good night.
Who's got the herb? Not teacher. Who's got the herb? In a place white near the sun. You gave me golden sunbeams. Your act was all in fun. Wrong ladder. Ceremony and the sacrifice was me. Me. You asked me to a storm cloud up and near the rainbow's end. Then you threw away the ladder and gave me to your friend. You took me to a prison and you said its chief was me. Then you locked me deep inside you and threw away the key. A wrong ladder. Thank you.
despair.